Welcome to the Fearless Podcast. In a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. All right, y'all, welcome back. I hope y'all are having a great day, and we're having a great day.
Yeah.
And it's still stinking hot here in Texas.
Yeah, it's toasty. Yeah.
And so it's kind of neat because I can kind of come home, we can record a podcast while it's still psycho crazy hot, and then I can go out, you know, at the 7 or 8 o'clock mark and mess around in the greenhouse, take a little stroll in the food forest and all that cool stuff when it's like reasonably
when it gets below 100,
when it feels less like the surface of the sun,
98.
So today, y'all, what I wanted to talk about is, are we all going to be abducted by aliens?
Of course we are. I mean, that's
are UFOs coming? Have
they already come?
UAPs coming. Unidentified aerial phenomenon. Yeah, it's UAP. And then there's a new one. That's a new one. Because it used to be UFO.
Yeah.
Then it was UAP. And now there's another new one.
Really?
And then there's these ones that come out of the water. And so the reason I'm bringing this up, that I think that it's relevant, that it's actually not relevant, and I want to talk about it and explain that, is the fact that there's all these government whistleblowers.
All of a sudden, too.
All of a sudden.
Just boom. There's
a lot of histrionics that I want to talk about with this whole UFO thing that goes back to Ronald Reagan, if you remember, Crazy Ronnie, that had dementia, right? And all this stuff. And him talking about, you know, this potential existential threat by aliens and his meeting with Gorbachev that I think the Secretary of State at the time was Schultz or one of these other Nazi wannabe, whatever. And and he tells the story about how Reagan and Gorbachev like went for a walk, and Reagan said, "Hey, you know, if there was a alien invasion, you know, would you help us out?" kind of thing. I thought they were here, y'all. I thought it was gonna happen right now. So anyway, so you know, there's Reagan, right? And then there's Star Wars, and I'm not talking about like George Lucas and Luke Skywalker. I'm talking about Star Wars,
literally
the federally funded space program to do whatever they did that we don't know about. Whether it was with satellites and up in space, whether it was in the North Pole, whether it had more to do with weather modification. So we're going to talk about these different things.
Sweet.
We're going to talk about, why is this in the news? Like, why all of a sudden is this so important? And why are there currently congressional hearings? Like, the government's not wasting enough money. So let's trot out all these Mirage men. And let's talk about all these sightings and all this stuff. And then what does that have to do with Podesta? What does that have to do with the Clintons? And why all these threats that were made? As soon as I'm elected, there's going to be full disclosure. I don't know how many of y'all remember all that stuff with the Clintons and then with Obama. And it's never happened, never happened, never happened. And now that the economy's melting, we're on the verge of World War III, we've printed hundreds of trillions of dollars in debt.
Come on!
I'm trying to think. Somebody did an analysis of global debt.
Global debt?
And it's like 300 and some trillion dollars. So it's inconceivable. So this is all going to be, this is what's forcing that rebase
trillion.
Of CBDC global currency, right? And so you need all these, like, and then simultaneously the planet is going to boil, right? So the seas are going to boil.
How dare you?
I'm sorry, Greta. Sorry. And don't interrupt me, Greta. So, you know, there's all these distractionary things. And fortunately for they, them, and those and the powers that shouldn't be and the district of criminals, all of these distractions simultaneously mean we need more money. We need to print more money. We need to stop these threats, these apparent threats that are aberrations. So, you know, are aliens coming? I mean, we do aliens exist? Are aliens real? You know, and we are Christians. We're biblical Christians. Yeah. We hold to a Christian worldview. And I'm going to encourage you all to read a book.
Okay.
I actually have the book right here.
Sweet.
But, you know, somebody made a mention about what do the flat earthers call it? They call it a biblical, I forget the flat earth, the Christian flat earth terminology, but they call it like biblical cosmology. But, and I do hold a more
read it for our audio fans.
Geocentricity, Christianity in the Woodshed. This is by Jerry Bowe. He was a PhD out of Cleveland, Ohio.
Awesome.
He was the president of the Association for Biblical Astronomy. Cool. I think he's in ill health. He may have passed recently. But, you know, I hold to a geocentric position, and this is kind of a neat discussion that we can talk about. I'm not a flat earther. I'm not going to bang on the flat earther.
No, we have lots of flat earther friends.
Yeah, or hate on them.
We absolutely love them.
And the questions that they have are the same questions that geocentrist people have that are answered with a geocentric model. That the earth is the center of creation. It is stationary. The ether is moving. And you can go back and research all this stuff and Einstein and whether or not gravity is real or ether is pushing on everything and whether the ether is moving and all these different interesting things. And there's lots of great, relevant, interesting things about all of that. Now, here's the thing. Even with... You know, even people that don't have a Christian worldview or anything, you know, there's lots of rational reasons to doubt and to question aliens as far as like light years away and light travel.
Yeah.
There's all of these very interesting conversations. Another thing I'm going to recommend is you watch the documentary called The Mirage Men.
That was really good.
Yeah, you can find it on YouTube. You can find it on Odyssey. Yeah. Another really cool tip. Okay, cool tip. And this is why I do like Odyssey. So let's say you find a great documentary, but it's somewhere and you have to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Search for it on Odyssey.
Yeah, and it's free.
Yeah, it's too. Free.
Yeah.
And
Right on Odyssey, you can download it, right?
You can download it.
Okay.
Everything on Odyssey is downloadable. And the other thing you can use a screencaster, so you can throw it from your phone onto your television.
Yeah, it's super sweet. Yeah.
So
not sponsored, but
yeah, not sponsored by Odyssey or the phone app, the free phone app that throws it onto your TV. But I would definitely recommend Mirage Men. Now, the Mirage Men is about is how the clandestine portions of the government, CIA, FBI, Al, maybe signature reduction. This was obviously pre-signature reduction, and how they disinfoed this millionaire billionaire guy and drove him insane. And it was all done through disinfo, misinfo, misdirection, and also trying to remember the name of the antagonist, but he. That the CIA inserted him into the UFO community, and he remained there, even though he was exposed, and a lot of the people in the UFO community knew that he was a plant, and he was just there to spread disinformation. So, in light of Mirage Men, right, and the concept and the precepts and all that idea there, Dr. Stephen Greer, I think, is absolutely a mirage man. I think he's a plant. I think all of his talking points and jargon is a governmental construct cover up. Now, so where this topic gets really strange and interesting is you have this large cross-section of people and whistleblowers that will say all these, we have alien technology, mm-hmm. we have alien bodies, and, you know, and then they correlate it to other things that we know are real, like deep under, like the domes, deep underground military mm-hmm. bases, and other technologies that we know that, and I do believe that our intelligence agencies and the deep state, the deep mm-hmm. intelligent deep state has tons of technology that we've never even seen
yeah,
and that
of
we
course.
Are unaware of. We're completely familiar with HAARP and weather modification and weather as a force multiplier and weather as a weapon. And these things are absolutely real. There's no doubt in my mind in Antarctica with the spheres that are under the surface that this isn't some type of energy weapon.
I mean, their leader is Satan. So, I mean, there you go. I mean, I think they have some pretty powerful devices out there.
Well, you make a great segue because that's part of my point
yeah.
with this concept of aliens
and technology beyond our imagination. Like,
yeah. Right. And I absolutely believe in devils. Right?
Totally. Fallen angels.
And fallen angels yeah. and the prince and the power of the air. And I believe in, you know, Ezekiel's prophecy mm-hmm. and the wheel within a wheel and these circular objects that spin yeah. and hover and do all these unexplainable things that defy what we think is observable science by what we know it as. So all these things are absolutely real. So I'm not denying that these people see stuff.
No, this stuff is way more real, like 8 billion times more real than Bigfoot. Bigfoot, you know, you have all these documentaries, but you never actually see real footage. This stuff, they have real footage.
Right.
Like, you can't deny it. Like,
yeah, and
personally, I've seen one. So
uh-oh.
There you go.
Whoa, breaking news.
Yeah.
Breaking news.
So I'm kind of sold on it.
So what happened? So what happened when you saw it?
Breaking news. Oh, there you go. That's what I heard, actually. So you're going to have to stay tuned okay. further into the podcast to hear my alien story. And it's a good one.
Your close encounter?
Yeah, very close. Right, very close.
Go, hey, yeah, man. So there you go. We're making it happen here.
Anyway.
So
what do you think they are?
What do I think the
UFOs are?
I believe there's a large cross-section
mm-hmm.
of UFOs that are military operations on experimental
Correct.
Aircraft.
Yep.
That's
what
absolute,
I think.
That's an absolute fact.
Yep.
I believe that these different apparitions and these different videos that people mm-hmm. have, I believe some of them are devils.
Yep.
No doubt about
that's
it.
That's what I was thinking. Either two types, you know, either some type of government deal or devils.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, and we did this whole Star Wars thing and we put all this stuff into space.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and this goes kind of hand in glove with why I'm not a flat earther. And I'm going to give you just some, I don't want to get down into the weeds on this thing. And I know mm-hmm. people that are big time flat earthers, they're very passionate about it. But, you know, why I, do not hold that position is because of solar eclipse and lunar eclipse. Okay. I also, their model of the dome and the sun that spins around in a circle, is not perceivable when you're in an airplane. And I know they explain that away mm-hmm. different things. Also the same thing with the map, they have to shrink stuff and move it around and make stuff not exist to make their map to work. And I realize there's problems with the globe as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm
mm-hmm.
not going to hate. I'm not going to hate.
Yep.
But when you consider solar eclipses and lunar eclipses, and you consider the shape of the moon and what happens with solar and lunar eclipses and with different shadows and the different shadow experiments, in my opinion, it refutes that. But there is a very great case for geocentricity. There's a great case that the Earth does not rotate and that gravity is a theory and the ether is real and the ether holds everything in place. And that conforms to a lot of different scriptures and different things like that.
Yeah.
So I do want to encourage you to consider geocentricity. There is a guy on YouTube from Australia, and I meant to look that up for y'all. And he's an older fella, and he's got like a white beard. And I'm almost positive I put him in my notes here because I subscribed to his channel. And at the second, I can't remember his name. But if you comment, if you want to know who it is, leave a comment on the podcast, whether it's on Fountain or whether it's below in the comments, or send us an email, and I will... I'll find it here in my notes, and I will tag you and send you the the YouTube channel right at this exact second.
It escapes you.
Yeah, it's escaping me. And it's just a new channel that I found. I thought it was really good.
Awesome.
And he holds a geocentric position, and he's a Christian and presents it from scripture and all that cool stuff. So I thought it was really good. But yeah, this whole UFO thing, it's always a distraction.
Every
that
time
they trot out, you know.
Every time.
And there's always this kind of like appeal to authority when, for a long time, and Project Blue Book and Project Blue Beam and all these different investigations and cover-ups and back and forth and back and forth. And now what they're doing is they continue to change the vernacular. And there's been guys like Jason Burmess. Like if you just type in Jason Burmess, you'll find him on a bunch of different platforms. He's on Red Voice Media now, which is on Rumble. But if you just type in Jason Burmess and UFOs, he has lots of great information on that, and he has different kinds of opinions on all that. I also know that Jay Dyer has covered that kind of stuff. And Mirage Men and the cover up and the clandestine. And it's just, it's kind of like a dog and pony show. So I do not think that aliens are coming to do anything. They're certainly not going to
attack us or invade us.
Like all the predictive programming, like Independence Day and all these other. And one of the great illustrations is, H.G. Wells' War of the World and that whole psychological operation, right? And for any of you that aren't aware, War of the Worlds was H.G. Wells, I'm pretty sure, right? And so H.G. Wells was a guy that did radio programming, right? And he had a great voice, and he did radio programs, and...
I've never heard of him.
Yeah, well, it's because he was like from the 30s, 40s, and 50s.
Okay.
Yeah, way before you were a twinkle in your mama's eye.
Yeah.
And I want to say it was H.G. Wells. So there was I want to get this right. There was War of the Worlds. And And so it was a radio program. So it was a fictitious radio program that they were broadcasting. And as people tuned in, mid-programming, they were freaking out because they thought it was a real reporting of an alien invasion, and people were calling the police. People were like freaking out and running in the street. It was a huge psychological operation that was performed back in the 40s, right?
One of the alien documentaries that we've watched talked about that. Yeah.
And we've always been fascinated with all this stuff, and we watch like alien documentaries, and we watch cryptozoological documentaries like about Bigfoot or...
Yeah, just all that
Ogopogo and...
I just like it. It's very interesting. Also...
cryptozoology.
What's the one ranch one?
Skinwalker Ranch.
Skinwalker Ranch. Then there's Blind Frog Ranch. Those are on Amazon Prime. I think if you haven't yet watched Blind Frog Ranch, that is one of the coolest dang alien documentaries ever.
Yeah, and it's pretty crazy.
It's not just aliens. It's just like Native American stuff. And it's
They were really on the verge of like finding gold or whatever. And
big time.
And there was supposed to be a season three where they're documenting it, and they're not. So my guess is maybe they really found what they were looking for.
And they're like, we're not going to air this.
Sorry. We're not. This isn't going to be on TV. But it was very incredible the extent that this family.
And also, too, with the whole UFO thing, this has been going on for thousands of years because with all the Native Americans, they've communicated with devils and different things like that. And they have, like, inscriptions in walls that are, like, thousands of years old and about, like, lights and, you know, orbs and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, you know? They worship gods, right? So, you know, a lot of these, all of these...
Gods, lowercase g.
Yeah, all of these... And what he sacrificed to devils, right? Mm. So we have scripture on this stuff. But all of these Grecian repackaged, all this repackaged paganism and these demigods were the original fallen angels and the giants and the descendants of the giants that were worshipped, right? And Og, King of Bashan, and all this stuff, right? So that's where all of this comes from, and we can find it in scripture, right? And we can... find it in Ezekiel and like, wow, what's all this weird stuff that Ezekiel's talking about and what did he see and what's he prophesying about? And these are the things that people are still seeing and experiencing today. And it's all part of lies and signs and lying wonders. And it's all part of the coming deception. And it's all part of the implementation and manifestation of the beast system, right? And the manipulation to, for the sake of safety, you're going to forfeit your freedom to be protected from the aliens. And in the meantime, don't forget, we're going to Mars.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually, I think that was what created the comment about biblical cosmology, was when we were joking about the moon landing.
Yeah.
And it was so funny. Did I mention it when we were talking about that? So that morning at work, in our morning meeting.
Yeah.
So this would have been Monday, right? That was the anniversary of the moon landing. And
what?
They really? Put a picture up of the moon rover.
Oh, my word.
And I said, that's fake. You're something.
Yeah.
And it was kind of hilarious. Everybody
hey,
started laughing.
Awesome documentary for y'all to watch if you haven't already. It's called... Funny things that, what is it called?
There's two of them. A funny thing happened on the way to the moon.
Yeah.
And the second documentary was called Astronauts Gone Wild.
Yeah, watch those two.
And
really good.
What I want to do is Bart Sibrel,
okay,
who is the documentarian on A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon and Astronauts Gone Wild. He just wrote a book called Moon Man that explains all of how he came across all this stuff and what was all about it and how the CIA kidnapped and drugged him and all kind of really wild stuff. But I want to try to get Bart Sibrel on the podcast.
No way.
So
is that even like possible?
Yeah, I think so. He's been on a bigger podcast, lots of bigger podcasts.
And if we get him on the podcast, that would be
he was on Valuetainment, I think, last year. So Patrick Bet-David interviewed him. So I thought that was very interesting.
That's awesome.
But he has lots of convincing documentation.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's very simple to understand that the moon landing was absolutely fake.
Course.
For multiple reasons. Yeah. Now, there is a theory that all of the documentation and the pictures and the photos got destroyed by the radiation that would have killed everybody. And so, therefore, they had to recreate it so that they had proof that we did it. So there's
that. Killed everybody that went
there? It would have killed everybody, but it didn't kill anybody. It only destroyed the photos and the video.
So that's why they had to Photoshop everything?
So that's why they had to recreate it here in Arizona with Gary Kubrick and all that stuff.
What?
That's where it all came from. But anyway, so aliens aren't coming. They're always a great distraction.
They are.
To keep in the pocket.
Along with submarines, too.
Yes.
They're great.
And it helps to always change the name
yeah.
from unidentified flying object to unidentified aerial phenomenon to the underwater one. I forget the one that, that comes out of the water. They call it.
I forget. Yeah.
A unidentified water phenomenon or
those
something.
Those are pretty neat because they like enter the water and don't even like make a splash or whatever.
Yeah. It's yeah, pretty cool.
Like really fast.
So there's lots of interesting stuff there. There's lots of things that are absolutely unexplainable.
That's right too. Yeah. We actually filmed one of those things
we
too.
Did.
Yeah. One of those underwater drone we UFOs.
We filmed it.
Yeah.
We have the footage. It's a little blurry, of course, because, you know, when you're faking footage, you got to keep it blurry.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
what we had to do is... Well,
it was
this was the thing. Okay, so we went down to South Padre, Texas, right? So it's 12 hours from us. We live up in Northeast Texas. So we drove down there. You know, we're filming. We're there at... we passed by Starspace or SpaceX.
Yeah, SpaceX. What's it? No,
Starbase?
Yeah, Starbase.
Whatever. Starbase. I don't know. It's something. Yeah. Okay, so we passed by there. They got, you know, their big
Project Blackjack.
It looks like so sci-fi and fake, but whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, it's real neon. Yeah, it's like real rocket ships and stuff there, but it's still pretty cool to look at. But anyway, so you know, we're filming, having fun and everything, and I filmed the whole entire thing. There was a couple. Every day there's beautiful sunrises and sunsets, so I filmed a couple of them, and one was a sunrise. No, yeah, it was a sunrise or sunset. I forget. On the ocean, and it was absolutely beautiful. There was dolphins, so I was zooming in on the dolphins, filming the dolphins splashing around and everything like that. And then we come home, you know, everything's great. And then like a couple days later, I got around to editing the footage, and I was just scrubbing through the footage and, you know, just trying to take out the best parts. And the only thing that had me kind of like slow down on the certain spot and not cut it out is I think there was like a boat way far out in the distance. So I was trying to get it and I was panning the camera real slow. So I was just like trying to make it look real nice. And anyway, and then there's this black cylindrical object that's going about this speed.
Man, it was,
I mean, it was,
I have no
it was
idea.
Literally, it was literally going this fast. And I mean, like, perfectly, and
like,
I like
at an incredible distance, so the real speed would
the real
be
speed
like,
would be stupid. It was literally going like this, and I was like super zoomed in on it, so I was like, what in the world is that? And it's not a bird or anything like that, because the lighting would have been in such a way that you would have been able to see it, but all it is it's this dark object.
Yep,
and it's
either underwater,
barely underwater, or somehow barely hovering over the water, and it was just black. Either or. It was like barely under the, because you could still see it.
And a super smart person, depending on the frame rate, they could calculate the speed.
Yeah, and especially,
very, very,
I think there was a boat in the background, so they might have been able to calculate it off that. So, I forget what it was called. If you go onto our YouTube channel, you can find it. Just probably type in UFO on there, and it'll pop up.
Sure, sure.
Go watch that. That was a really cool video, and we played it over a couple times.
Very interesting.
But that was really
now,
interesting.
Now, is that the UF? Is that your UFO?
No.
Okay,
no,
so what happened, Matt?
That's not my personal
UFO.
That's
your second.
That's my second one in my
unidentified
life.
Unidentified phenomenon that you experienced. Okay.
Yeah. And I don't know if we should share our my great-grandfather's UFO story, too, on here. We could later.
Well, that would be hearsay. So let's.
That's
just,
true.
Let's talk about what you saw.
So what we saw, it was us three boys. We were in our backyard. We made a hoop house fort out of some T-posts and a cattle panel and a tarp. And we were all camping out there, had our sleeping bags and, you know, just chilling out. It was probably around 11 o'clock, getting close to 12 o'clock. We were just up talking about stuff and everything like that. And I rolled over and started going to bed or whatever, closed my eyes, and James closed his eyes, and I don't know, Buddy was looking up at the stars or whatever. And we got like a forest in the back part of our property, you know, and we were probably only, you know, from the edge of it, probably about maybe 100, 200 feet away from that. And, you know, then you could see the big open sky and everything. So he was lying right beside me looking out, laying on his stomach, looking out there. And anyway, and he, he just nudges me and he's like, hey, Matt, look at that. And I'm like, what? Like, I didn't even want to because I thought it was just whatever. And he was like, no, it's like this bright orb looking thing. I'm like, okay, let's see what he's talking about. And straight up, this orb comes like out of the woods, follows the tree line, you know, and it was halfway. It wasn't way out like in the sky. It was probably, you know, the trees are probably about 50 feet tall or so. So it was halfway up the tree line, outside of the tree line too.
25 feet off
the
ground. You know,
25 feet off the ground. And it was about this big. And it was just bright. You couldn't even make out anything. It was just like a bright bubble. And it moved about this fast. It didn't move fast and it didn't emit any sound.
It was ball lightning. Ball lightning, Matt.
It was ball lightning. It was ball lightning. But it moved really quick. It moved real slow. And it moved real slow for about that whole tree line. There you go. So it moved. This makes it even better. It moved down the tree line really slow, about probably around 200 feet of tree line. And then all of a sudden it just went. This music doesn't help it, but yeah, it instant
vanished.
So, but we all three saw it.
Wow.
Which was really neat.
And with all of our thousands, maybe dare I say tens of thousands.
So the next night we went out there and we got all rigged up and everything. We're like, oh, this is the night we're going to see it again. No, nothing.
Good job.
Nothing.
Ray, thanks.
Nothing happened.
We could all be internet millionaires.
No, I don't think so. A lot of people have filmed it. So
right.
It would have been cool though.
It would have been cool.
Yeah.
It would have been one for the record books. Yeah, but
it, so big time.
Needless to say, you know, I definitely think it's a mega distraction. And not only is it simultaneously a distraction, it is a cover up. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a cover up in this like invasion kind of thing.
Yeah.
There's a reason why a lot of these people like microdose and trip on DMT and different things, and they're super concerned about it. And there's a reason why when these guys go out to encounter these things, they do seance type like satanic rituals to summons these
things.
That
was big time on Skinwalker Ranch. They had like this Native American guy and he would chant.
Yeah.
And dude, they had the heat gun or whatever, like the, what's it called? It's a camera.
FLIR camera.
FLIR camera. Yeah. There you go. And they were infrared, and they were filming this barn, and he would start chanting, and they played these chants, and it went from hot to just like instantly cold. And then like in the middle, there was like a dark, cold, like, sphere, and it, like, moved around. It was, and then as soon as they stopped, it just went, boom, hot again.
Yeah, so, normal, you know, if you read about a lot of these guys that want to conjure these entities,
the devil.
It's satanic, and it's devil worship, devil conjuring, and, you know, and they're tripping on acid and dropping DMT to open doorways, you know, like Jim Morrison talked about breaking on through the other side, and these psychedelic operations, and it's all tied together. And it all just so happens that all that same stuff goes hand in glove with mind control and programming and all that other stuff, you know. So, you know, it's all part of the dialectic and the cover-up. And so either they're covering for a governmental clandestine operation.
Which I could totally see them doing that. Because every time they make a video, like the government makes a video about it, they're like, oh, yeah, we don't have any of this technology.
Don't have anything like
I'm like,
this.
I really don't believe you. Like, you lie so much to
like
us.
Like the heart attack gun that they had in the 70s that was they demonstrated at a congressional hearing, all that stuff that they don't have, you know.
And oh,
then,
yeah.
And we then don't you have see that. These people die of heart attack. Now, not recently. I'm not talking about recent heart attacks. I'm just talking about, like, you know, maybe Breitbart, maybe some other people.
Man, I'll tell y'all what, there's been a lot of people dying of lately of heart stuff.
Yeah.
It's a lot. We're not going to get into that in this episode, but it's staggering amount.
Yeah, it's tragic.
That, like, personal people that I know.
So fear not. Do not start to prepare
for an alien invasion.
Fighting off alien invasion. Don't try to develop a laser gun or a lightsaber. That is not necessary.
I mean, you could. Well, it'd be really cool. You know, if it is the government, you know, and then you know.
Well, I would focus on, like, growing food.
That's true.
Storing
food. That's more practical.
Doing practical things that brings your life value and sustenance and enjoying creation and enjoying your family and, like, say no to all the doom and fear and the coming alien invasion, abduction, et al. But so that's what's going on. Aliens are not coming to get you, y'all. I'm sorry. And for those of you that are looking forward to it or enjoy being abducted, you know, I apologize. So let's jump into an article here.
Okay. I'm ready.
And we are, let's see, I don't need to share screen because we're on the podcast.
Yeah, we're on the podcast.
Now, this is really great news that John Kerry.
You ready?
Yes, John, you. John Kerry, who was a perennial district of criminals, and now he's like Johnny Greenhouse Gas or whatever. I forget what his official position is, but this was actually back from May 10th. And this kind of impacts us as homesteaders, so I thought this was relevant. It's relatively short, but it's very important. Slashing farm emissions, critical to fighting climate change.
Ooh, good.
John Kerry says.
You ready?
May 10th. Cutting greenhouse gas emissions from agricultural production is essential to the global fight against climate change, U.S. climate envoy John Kerry said on Wednesday. Agriculture generates 10 to 12% of greenhouse gas emissions globally, according to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. The food system as a whole, including packaging, transportation, and waste management, generates a third of global emissions, according to a 2021 study published in the academic journal Nature Food. We can't get to net zero. We don't get this job done unless agriculture is front and center as part of the solution. Kerry, the special presidential envoy for climate, said at the AIM for Climate Summit in the District of Criminals. He said that without cutting agricultural emissions, the world may not reach its goal of limiting global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius.
How dare you?
Well, listen, John, the last time I checked, you lived in America, and we use Fahrenheit.
Yeah, for real.
Not degrees Celsius. Which scientists
go back to Canada.
I guess that would make me a temperature snob. I don't know. Which scientists say must be achieved to avoid the worst impacts of climate change? President Joe Biden.
Come on. This guy is a dog whistle about as big as a foghorn.
Has pledged the U.S. will reach net zero emissions by 2050. Thanks, Joe Biden, sock puppet Joe. Rising global temperatures have severe implications for malnutrition and food security worldwide.
Oh, my word.
Kerry said. A two-degree future could result in another 600 million people not getting enough to eat. Well, that they would kind of be cool with that.
Yeah, they would love that.
They would like that.
Yeah, I mean, what's wrong with that?
Said the former U.S. Secretary of State, you can't continue to warm the planet while also expecting to feed it. That's why you must eat the bugs.
The bugs.
AIM for Climate is a global initiative co-led by the U.S. and the United Arab Emirates to drive investment in farming practices that cut the sector's emissions. At this week's summit, the U.S. and the UAE announced 13 billion. Okay, suspending. So the debt ceiling isn't high enough. And, you know, our national debt
300 trillion
isn't high enough. But we need to contribute 13 billion.
Oh, good.
Just exclusively in funding for the initiative from global governments.
I'm glad my great, 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 great grandchildren will be paying for that too, along with me.
And the private sector. The UAE will host COP28 at the end of this year, and agriculture emissions are expected to be a major theme of the Global Climate Summit. UAE Climate Minister Miriam Al-Hariri pledged at the AIM Summit on Monday that COP28 will be a game changer for food systems.
Oh my goodness.
That sounds so great and exciting. I'm sure it will involve the culling of cattle.
Oh, yeah.
The culling of fowl like chickens.
Yep.
The culling of pigs and all these current food sources that are already raised and everything is already there and they're ready to be harvested. But, you know, for the sake of Mother Gaia, you know, we really should sacrifice them to the tune of thousands and thousands of sacrificial animals. We need to sacrifice them on the altar of global warming.
We're like stinking like Native Americans, like we're just like sacrificing animals to like the weather gods.
That's exactly what it is.
Literally.
It's
paganism.
It's paganism.
Straight up.
It's Satanism.
Like, it's crazy.
It's illogical. It's irrational. It's unreasonable. It's devil worship.
Yeah.
It's very similar to abortion. You know, we sacrifice these children and their blood and then we monetize it by selling their body parts, right?
Yeah.
So not only do we do the satanic sacrifice and the satanic ritual abuse of ripping these kids apart, then we package up their body parts and sell them. And it's a multi-billion dollar industry. And, you know, but it's very similar to the abortion industry and the preborn. It's very similar to this rampant sex trafficking industry that scoops up kids all over the planet through NGOs, through the UN, through these other governmental organizations that scoop up kids and they sex traffic them around the globe. And we're one of the biggest the United States is one of the largest purveyors of sex trafficking. They're also one of the larger purveyors of all these other monetized trafficking of children, whether it's through, you know, pictures and videos and all other ultra disgusting stuff.
And drugs, too.
That's despicable. And I think you can buy Vets for Child Rescue. They have a really awesome T-shirt that has a wood chipper on it, and they're stuffing a pedophile into a wood chipper.
No way. I need that T-shirt.
I think it's called, like, Mulch a Pedophile or something like that. But, yeah, Vets for Child Rescue.
That'd be awesome.
And I want to say that's I know it's Vets for Child. Craig Sawman Sawyer.
I want that on the back of my truck. That'd be so great, like a bumper sticker.
Compost a pedophile, I think that's what it
says. Oh, that'd be awesome.
And they're like stuffing a pedophile in a wood chipper. So I think it's great.
But man, that's awesome.
Vets for Child Rescue, check that out. I think that's probably vetsforchildrescue.org.
Praise the Lord.
And I'm pretty sure Craig Sawyer is the one that runs that up. I know Billy's involved. And they have a homesteaders conference in Kentucky that raised a bunch of money for that. So that was cool. But check that out. But, yeah, so these are – I'm trying to think. I didn't see any other questions.
Okay.
So I want to encourage everybody to get your questions in. We want to answer
absolutely.
Your questions. Give us your feedback. We want to answer your questions on the podcast. We want to have a section here.
How about if there's any awesome – if you have, like, a really awesome alien story where you, like, personally – experienced it, that would be cool.
That would be great, but you're going to have to relatively keep it brief, all right?
That's true.
I don't want this, like, four-page email.
Or, well, you could set it, they could send it, and then we could just kind of, you know, speed it up, because I would like it in depth.
We could do that. I'll let you read.
Or if you have any, like, Bigfoot stories, too, those I always love those, too.
Those are great. We're
up for all of it.
We enjoy all that stuff, so... And we very know that Satan is working and his minions are working and doing these things. And there are these different lying signs and wonders. And there are these things that people see that are...
I mean, he walks to and fro,
right?
You know,
seeking
upon the earth.
Yeah. I mean, so that just speaks a lot to us as Christians to put on the whole armor of God, right?
Absolutely.
That we can resist the wiles of the devil. And we need to be vigilant. We need to armor up every day. You know, you put your armor on every day, and you must be in prayer and in reading of scripture and in fasting and in meditation of, you know, musing. And as King David said, as I muse, the fire burns. You know, we need to be thinking about these things, keeping them in the forefront of our minds.
Yeah.
And that way we can be aware when the district of criminals or they, them, and those are trying to dupe us into some type of storyline or some type of misdirection. In my opinion, that's all this stuff is. But do you have any parting thoughts, Matt?
I would say that this, the Fearless podcast, is brought to you by thetexasboys.com. And the best way to support this show and everything that we do here on the farm is our little farm shop called thetexasboys.com. And you can buy our, we sell our local, non-vaccinated, unpasteurized raw honey, and that has all the good vitamins and minerals in there. And so we have that. We got that in like 1 gallon sizes all the way down to like 1 pound. And then we have our whole coffee line, from organic coffee to flavored coffee to organic CBD coffee to our lion's mane coffee, which is organic too. And has several different types of mushrooms in there. It's really, really good.
Micro roasted fresh for you.
Yeah. So with the CBD coffee and with the lion's mane coffee, it is like super, super fresh. Like, you put in the order and we instantly order it like either that day or the next day. And then we get it in.
We do not keep it in stock.
No, we don't.
Order it
so
to
it's
your order.
Super fresh.
So it's as fresh as could
fresh
possibly
as could
be.
And then also we sell bulk teas and candles. So there's all types of stuff. And cool merch, Make Orwell Fiction again. And
I think you designed some new teas,
I
right?
did. I made some really awesome teas. There is now on thetexasboys.com, on the merch, if you want to help support the show. Also, there is a Fearless podcast shirt, and it looks really, really slick. And remember, on thetexasboys.com, if you want free shipping with your purchase over $150, it automatically applies. So if you're thinking about, you know, doing like $100 or $120 or so, you know, if you knock it up a little bit, you kick off all that shipping cost. So we added that on there just to, you know, help y'all out. So anyway, y'all, I think that is it for episode number three.
Episode number three.
We'll see y'all later. So
stay fearless, my friends.
All right.